good morning. This is Brother Steve again with the Fountain of Life Daily Inspiration. I'm going to continue in the book of Hebrews here, chapter 3 and 4, I think I'm going to try to cover today. I'm going to just briefly read through it and then maybe stop a few places and make some comments. We'll not have time to do any in-depth study, but would encourage you to do some more searching on your own. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house." This chapter is talking about Christ as the high priest and trying to help us understand how Christ is so much better than Moses. Verse 3, "For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who has built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after." What Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? You will notice in this chapter that there's quite a few warnings here that the writer gives us of staying firm, of holding fast. And there's two verses in this chapter where he uses the word "if we hold" to the beginning of our. If we hold fast. So it's giving us some strong exhortation to stand fast. Verse 6 again, "But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation and day of the temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, They do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Again, a strong warning there. Lest any of you have an evil heart of unbelief. And we will see also here, he talks about the children of Israel and the wilderness and some of their journeys there. And there's an interesting thing he says here. If you want to just follow after a little bit, we will see why many of them died in the wilderness and could not make it into the promised land. We could say, well, it was because they built an altar or an idol, they built the golden calf, or it was because they fell into adultery with the Midianites or whatever that group was, or we could say that it was because of their complaining and whatever. But there is one thing that it tells us here, the reason that they did not make it. So let's continue reading here. "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Sin is very deceitful. It wants to take us, it will take us farther than we really want to go. Makes it look very enticing. It makes it look very good and tasty on the outside, like a trap where you use deceit to get a mouse or whatever to take the bait, and the trap will capture it. In verse 14, "For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." There is again another "if." If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest? But to them that believed not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Here in it talks about what the reason that they could not enter in. It was because of unbelief. They did not believe. Chapter 4. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of. Chapter 4 is a beautiful chapter of the rest that is in Christ. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his work. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in, because of unbelief. Again, it brings out it was because of unbelief. Why was it because of unbelief? Can we say that all of our actions that we do, all of our sins, are all because of what we believe or don't believe? And here, because of unbelief, they complain. If they would have known God and would have believed God, they would not have complained, because they would have seen ahead of and knew that God was going to bring them into the land of Canaan. But because of unbelief, they did not enter in. And even us today, what we believe will change how we live our lives. So may we keep that in mind, that what we believe will change us. We will act upon what we truly believe in our hearts. We may say we believe. Sometimes it's just a mental assent to something, but what we truly believe in our heart will change how we live. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. He says that, I think it's three times in these two verses. If you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Strong warning. Don't harden your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. And there could be a lot said about that rest that it's talking about here, but we don't have time to go into that today. I would encourage you to study that. It's a very beautiful principle that he brings out here in chapter 4 of that rest. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Gives a picture of how we cease from our own works. Stop striving, stop trying to make it ourselves, and how God is the one that finished the work. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, yet lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Again, an interesting concept there, to labor to enter into that rest. Verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. There we can make ourselves believe whatever we want, but what we truly believe in our hearts will change our lives. And the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. So as we look at the mirror of the Word of God, it will change us, and it will allow us to know our own hearts and to understand the deceitfulness of our own lusts. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. We cannot hide anything anyway. God sees right into the deepest parts of our beings. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For if we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There, verse 15, he points out the greatness of Jesus as our high priest. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. But it says, in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted in every way, just the same as we are today. We might make ourselves believe that Jesus Christ was something above the flesh, that he was not, but he had the same desires, the same flesh that we have, that was tempted just like we are, yet without sin. But then in verse 16 it says, let us therefore, because of that, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He ever liveth to intercede for us, it says. He sits on the right hand of God, it says in chapter 1 there. But anyway, because Jesus can feel for us, he knows what we are facing, he knows what it feels like, and therefore we can come boldly, and we can expect to get mercy, because he is merciful, and he knows the temptations, he knows the battles that we face on this earth. So let us come boldly and enter into that rest, believing unto salvation. God bless you. We will continue tomorrow morning.